Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also with us in this edition of the program. And we are coming back to the matter of pop culture. We have seen the rise and the fall of Western culture. And I tell the story in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. I believe it's chapter 7. But I guess we need to read the eulogy one more time for Western culture. Maybe we'll just read it for the last time. There are still, 2% of the population who believes that something has survived or will survive. But nobody really cared that the 92nd Academy Award ceremony last year gave Best Picture to a nihilist South Korean motion picture called Parasite. Basically a film about popular culture eating out the innards of South Koreans and Westerners. And I guess the Westerners were supposed to crowd into theaters to hear Korean people mispronounce the F word and explain to everyone the meaninglessness of life and the worthlessness of the film they were watching. It was one of the most unpopular films of all the awarded films in all of history. It's called Parasite. That was just last year. Then nobody really cared about the 2020 Grammys, lavishing the green-haired, despondent, apparently suicidal Billie Eilish with 5 awards. Viewership had dropped in half over 8 years. And then at the 2021 Grammys, Billie Eilish's album Everything I Wanted got Album of the Year, but again, nobody watched. Basically, this poor creature, in her music, glorifies suicide, jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, self-mutilation, Lucifer, and cannibalism. She's the picture of depression, despair, the hopelessness, the suicidal tendencies, the destruction of modern culture. It's the civilization that has committed suicide. This is what it looks like. She is what it looks like. So Western culture has died. And the Academy Awards show on Sunday night, one more time, came off as a dud, with viewership dropping off to 9.85 million, down from 23.6 million last year. That's, what, a 50% drop-off in a single year. Down from 55 million in the year 2000. Hollywood's most prestigious awards this year went to no-name films hardly watched by anybody. Judas and the Black Messiah, Nomadland, and Minari. Only 5% of Americans watched the Grammys this year. Only 5% of Americans watched the Grammys this year. And only 2.8% of Americans watched the Academies. Down from 20% in the year 2000. What is that, a 92% drop-off since the year 2000? The homeschooling population is larger than the audience now watching the Academy Awards.
That's funny.
You know, and I come back to Revelation 18 again and again. Now, not to say this is the only or the ultimate application or fulfillment of the prophecy from Revelation 18. It could have been Rome. You know, people argue about where this applies. But hey, it applied to Babylon in the Old Testament. It applies to Babylon in the New Testament. But Revelation 18 applies again and again. If there was ever a time in human history where this principle is brought to bear, boy, it seems that it should apply in the present situation. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her, that is Babylon, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon, I didn't mean Hollywood, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come and the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Doesn't that sound a bit like Hollywood, Bill?
It does. It does. It's a vacuous system. And they turn inwards and they all congratulate each other on their nihilism.
You're looking at some 90% of the American population turning away. The star system is dead. The star system is dead. Now, what human empires have done since the first Tower of Babel is to go to, let us make a name for ourselves. Let us establish a star system in which the greatest actors, the greatest sports heroes will be adored by the masses, and then they will transgender and put on a dress. No longer the great Olympic star from the 1970s, but now the big fat guy in the dress. That, my friends, is the picture of a depraved society in which God has pulled the plug. And that society that established itself as a society that glorifies fame and fortune is now dead. Dead, dead. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson as we look at the fading of Western culture, the rise and the fall of Western culture, an entire chapter of that in my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. But here is one of the interesting things. As we see the fall of Western culture and we see the self-immolation of Hollywood and the destruction of the star system, the movies awarded this year are slightly different than some of the others I've seen in the previous 8 to 10 years. Yes, there has been very much of a nihilistic, self-destructive form. That is, man has walked over the line of despair. And I believe that pretty much represents these films as well. And yet, Bill, there's something very interesting and somewhat unique about these films that received the highest awards in the academies this weekend. And the movies have offered something of what I would call a sentimental longing of sorts towards a world where Christ was once present. For example, in Nomadland, that received more awards than any others this year, Nomadland, there are some Christmas carols playing, and you will hear a Thanksgiving prayer. Someone tells Fern that a local church offers a place for the homeless to sleep on cold nights, and it'll be very cold on the night in question. Fern says, "She'll be fine in the van." Do you see it, Bill? Do you see it? It's still there. Christ is still present. The shadow of Christ is still there. And I don't think it's possible to completely eliminate Christ from any part of our culture. You're looking at 2,000 years of a heritage. Now, granted, it's only a faint memory, but it's still there. And you see that in Nomadland. Minari, here's one more example. In Minari, there are these faintly Christian themes. The Korean family keeps a tapestry of Jesus with a flock of sheep hanging in the living room. And the mother is encouraging the boy to pray often, telling the little boy to pray so that he will go to heaven. And they also attend the local church on Sundays. The movies are sad. The memories of the true Christ have faded. There's a bit of a sentimental feel, but that's all that's left. There seems to be something of a regret as to what Western culture did to Christ. Now, think about the difference between Judas and Peter for a moment. Judas and Peter. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied him. But what's the difference? My wife is reading something from a devotional book on this to me yesterday. Judas was regretful.
Not repentant.
Remember, but not repentant. And here's the thing, point this guy made. Judas didn't come back to Christ.
No, he didn't come back and receive grace.
He didn't come back to Christ. Peter did. Yeah. That's the difference. Yeah. And I think that's what's happening to Western culture.
Western culture is actually a little regretful for what it did to Christ.
But it's not repentant.
But it's not coming back to him.
That's illustrated, by the way, in an article in The Atlantic. And in The Atlantic, the headline is, "Atheists are sometimes more religious than Christians." Now, that goes along with what you're saying. It goes along with 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." There is, in this article, some interesting illustrations. For example, in San Francisco, in 2018, almost 1,000 people streamed into a church for an unprecedented event billed as, quote, Beyonce Mass. Beyonce, the pop singer.
Yeah.
And many were secular. They used her songs, which are replete with religious symbolism, according to the article, as a basis for communal celebration. And it says this, quote, "one that had all the trappings of a religious service."
Yeah, yeah.
He said that, and the author of this says, "that seemed completely fitting to some, including one reverend who said, quote, Beyonce is a better theologian than many of the pastors and priests in our church today," end quote. There was a Catholic-themed Met Gala in May 2018 in which one of the pop stars, Rihanna, shows up in an ensemble that has a Pope-inspired theme to it, complete with mitre on her head. So there is always this desire to worship something, and we have the shadow, as you pointed out, of the memory of Christianity, and we want redemption, we want salvation, we just don't want what Christ called us to.
But you don't believe this is authentic. You believe this is just a sentimental memory.
Yes.
But they're not coming back to him.
No. And we always want to worship something. So we tend to worship celebrities, as you pointed out at the beginning. We raise the Tower of Babel. We set up kings. And we need to recognize as Christians that there's this is an opportunity. People want to, they inherently worship. They have that desire. We point them to the true God. We point them to Jesus. We point them to what is truly spiritual and religious. In fact, in one of these, in this article, it says that people, this is a quote by one of the people, that they're looking for something spiritual but not religious. "I think people are doing things that don't mirror Christianity sufficiently enough for our categories to continue to be as explanatory as they once were." And people want the idea of spirituality, but they don't want Christianity. Here's another quote from a professor, Linda Woodhead, a professor of politics, philosophy, and religion at Lancaster University in the UK. Quote, "Spirituality provides an opportunity for people to maintain what they like about Christianity without the bits they don't like."
Yeah, yeah, and they're picking and choosing what they want. And I think they do have some pleasant memories of perhaps what their grandparents shared with them.
It's a warm fuzzy.
But that's about it. It's a warm fuzzy.
Jesus didn't offer warm fuzzies.
No, he didn't, no.
He offered cold pricklies and then grace.
The real thing is to fall on our face before God, acknowledge ourselves to be sinners, cry out for his mercy, and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ who came to die on the cross for our sins.
So what
to
you're
repent
saying,
of our sins and to believe in Jesus.
And what you're saying about these films is there may be an opportunity for us to use them as a touch point on the culture to reveal the very deeply buried desire for truth and grace, that are only available through Jesus Christ.
But we've got to get to the gospel, and we have to call people to repentance and true faith in Jesus Christ, the only Savior and Lord. And I think that's where we need to get with these people. Well, let me conclude with this, Bill, because I want people to understand that, yes, even as the mainstream culture has gone over the waterfall, and as we've seen the destruction of a culture, friends, this isn't just the decadence of culture. This is the destruction of culture. This is the stepping over the line of of despair for the macroculture. This isn't, again, just the avant-garde who are committing suicide. This is an entire civilization, an entire macroculture that is itself destroying itself. Now, I wrap up the chapter on the rise and fall of culture in the West this way, in which I encourage people to islands of culture. Now, this is what I'm saying about freedom as well. I encourage people to seek those islands of freedom that seems to have been presented to us by God's mercy. In his providence, he has allowed for us some territory of freedom, what I would call islands of freedom. And I think there is something of an opportunity for islands of culture. By analogy, the cultural mainland was nuked, but islands of culture could still thrive. Where Christians dragged the polytheistic fragmentation of the forms into the church, where pure romanticized primal emotionalism prevails, and where the pride of performance and the triviality of modern culture were preferred, none of it would survive what followed. During the previous 500 years, there had been conditions under which some Christian synthesis with foreign worldviews still provided sustainable culture and faith, but during the cultural conflagration of the 21st century, attempts on the part of Christians to synthesize in the zeitgeist amounted to nothing more than rank apostasy and pure suicide. Those Christian elements which clung to the wasted forms of a degraded culture could not possibly survive. Yet, where Christian pastors discipled the next generation by the investment of thousands of hours in a biblical way of thinking over 10 years in private homes, the church would survive and thrive. Wherever honor for historical orthodox theology and practice existed, where the fear of the Lord was still regarded as the beginning of wisdom, and where the honor of fathers and mothers broke through by the grace of God, healthy culture would develop on the islands of culture. Where there was a holy reverence for God and honor for cultural forms of the past, some folk art survived. Where a shallow, meaningless gospel was pasted over a meaningless postmodern worldview, nothing could survive. Where there was no hard and fast antithesis set against the philosophies of the world, Sardis was dead and dying. Where the men disappeared and only women and immature children were left to lead the church and culture, this would not survive. But where the ideas of the public schools, public media, universities, apostate philosophers, Greeks, astrologers, and the wizards that peep and mutter were thrown out, and where true repentance and renewal of mind came about according to the radical teaching and straightforward preaching of the Holy Scriptures, something survived. Preaching and teaching came first, followed by repentance. Then some islands of culture developed. As the Lord tarried, Christians would plant the gardens in the ashes of Western civilization and build the next Christendom on its ruins, and where the primary purpose of music and culture was to express gratitude and praise to God, rather than to provide empty entertainment and superficial emotional comfort or to suppress reality, the islands would flourish. And that's the way I end the chapter on culture, Bill. I ended it with a note of hope because I do believe there is hope.
And you know, that reminded me of a book. It's not particularly a Christian book, but it's called How the Irish Saved Civilization. And it's exactly a picture of what you just said.
Yeah.
Because they gathered the great books, they gathered the writings, and they preserved them, and they saved civilization because they were committed to that. And they were committed to liberty and education. And it's, again, it's not particularly a Christian book, but Christians sparked it through whom? Who went over to Ireland?
Patrick.
There you go.
You bet.
Patrick.
It was ultimately the Irish,
yes,
that did most of the significant missionary work
because
in
of
the
seed of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And that seed flourished and it blessed all of culture.
Yes.
It's not that everybody was a Christian. It's that we are a blessing. We salt. We preserve. We light. We illuminate culture even when all those around us are not Christians.
And I refer to Cahill's book, How the Irish Saved Civilization, in, yeah, my book, Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, because it is a critical book.
Yep.
And friends, we're just going to wrap this up at this point. I read to you the final section of my chapter on the rise and fall of culture in the West, and I would encourage you to purchasing a book if you'd like. At this point, you can buy it at a fairly decent price at generations.org. It's called Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. And if you'd like more of a treatment on popular culture, if you have an interest in music, movies, and these sorts of things, and your family gets involved in some level at pop culture, I'd encourage you to our book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, which actually gives you something of a framework for discerning culture. That book also available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.